Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Tricia Griffith. Welcome to Web Sleuth Radio. I am the proud owner of a sleuthing site called WebSleuth.com. Now, as we head into 2018, Web Sleuth has chosen its motto. And I think it's a great motto for all of us to go by. It's Sleuth with a Purpose. And tonight, we welcome two incredible people that we love and follow on Web Sleuth all the time. We welcome Mark Klass, head of the Klass Kids Foundation, and Marlene Lamar, the mother of Sierra Lamar. And Mark and Marlene, welcome. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks a lot, Tricia.
You're welcome.
Marlene, let's start with you. Almost all of the members, and I know many of the visitors that come to Web Sleuth, followed Sierra's case from the beginning. A lot of them volunteered during the searches, and in general, they were supporting you and your family behind the scenes. So, on behalf of Web Sleuth, I'm very sorry about what happened to Sierra and what your family has gone through. Again, please, our condolences. I'm sorry we have to meet this way to talk. The biggest question I get from members about Sierra's family, everybody wants to know how you're doing, Marlene. How are you and your family doing?
Well, it's tough to live through this type of experience. The angst is always there, and, you know, the questions of what if Sierra was still here, watching my daughter's pain, you know, her desire experience to be an aunt to her possible children she could have had, you know, will never happen. She won't be able to experience the close relationship with her sister that, you know, she definitely would benefit having throughout our life, and that will always be missing in our heart.
I am so sorry, and I know there's no such thing as closure, but Sierra's killer was sentenced to life without parole, and again, that doesn't make up for anything that you just talked about. And Mark Klass, unfortunately, Marlene Lamar is now in that club, the club that nobody wants to be in, and that club is a parent of a murdered child. Now, Mark, you have been able to do so much after Polly's horrific death. You've gone out, you've helped train police officers, you've educated the public. Somebody like Marlene Lamar, what do we say to her? What would you say to her?
Oh, Marlene and I talk all the time. I mean, I think that she's done a tremendous job of holding her head up high and living with integrity throughout this entire ordeal. And I have absolutely no doubt that Marlene is going to be able to move forward now and put a very positive spin back onto her life. And I think that was best illustrated by the day of the sentencing. And I asked Marlene after the sentencing and after we were outside and had just concluded our brief press conference if she felt as if a weight had been lifted from her shoulders. And she said, well, yeah, kind of I do. But then a few moments later, Marlene and her husband were walking away, and she was giggling. And that's something I haven't heard from Marlene in the 6 years that I've known her. So I think, you know, we just want to hold Marlene and Steve and Danielle in our hearts and hope that they do what I have no doubt all three of them are going to do, and that's live life positively and do whatever they can to create Sierra's legacy.
That is great advice, Mark, and that is something that you have done with Polly. Marlene, Mark mentioned you holding yourself up with integrity, and, of course, we all saw that as well. But as I was researching, going back to refresh my memory, there were some reporters that were hard on you, and it really, really upset me. I was just appalled. Did you find the media to be harsh, or did you find them mostly, other than just a few times, the media to be pretty good or mostly harsh? How did that experience, what would you say that experience was like?
Well, I would say just in the beginning, it appeared harsh because you're in shock when something like that happens, and it literally took months for it to register that this is really happening, and feeling victimized and then having the media create sensationalism around the story, and that was difficult to cope with you know, especially when everything's so fresh as far as the tragic event occurring at the same time.
Exactly. And
so pretty early.
Right. You didn't know what had happened to Sierra, and all of a sudden you're in the headlines literally the next morning. And if people expect you to remember and to act a certain way and do certain things, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, your brain is literally in a fog when it happens, and it's hard to remember details because you're still dealing with the tragedy and the grief of possibly losing a child, which, you know, as parents, we're not really wired to deal with that.
That's true.
It happens.
Right. And so you're dealing with all that, and then the media's on your doorstep. That can turn into a nightmare. But like Mark said, you held your head high, and you did so with integrity. We're going to go over the case just a little bit, but I really wanted to talk to you both about the search effort for Sierra. So but let's just, for the audience that has been living with the Taliban that hasn't heard about Sierra's case, let's go over just a little bit here. March 16th, Sierra, 15 years old, left for a school just like any other day. She was going down to catch the bus, but that was the last time anybody saw Sierra. Now,
2012. That was in 2012, Tricia.
I'm sorry. Did I say, what year did I say?
I don't think you said a year. I just
2012.
Oh, I'm sorry. March 16, 2012, 15 year old. That's right. And now I'm going to quickly run through this. They found Antoine Garcia Torres' DNA on Sierra's dad late in March 2012. He became a prime suspect. And during this time, when they did, first of all, did the police come right to you and say, hey, we have a suspect, we've got Sierra's dad, and we have the DNA? Did they let you in on that right away?
No, and it was because they had cops doing a surveillance on him because they thought that Sierra possibly may still be alive.
And when did they let you know about the bag and the suspect?
Well, they let us know they discovered those items of hers, but
mm-hmm.
they didn't really say a lot as far as the DNA. They just kept saying that they were still processing the DNA evidence.
Got it. Yeah, I can understand why they would definitely want to keep all of that under wraps, thinking that she was still alive. So they arrest him. They arrest Torres in 2012. Okay, 2012, 2017, most people would think. 2013, 2014, the case would be over. No, this guy seemed to be just incredibly good at being the worst possible human being. Because the trial was scheduled for April 25th, 2016. All right, so that's what, 4 years after Sierra disappeared. I mean, it was delay after delay after delay. Mark, can you recall what this guy was doing? Didn't he like fire lawyers and get new ones and all of the tricks, right?
I'm sorry, say that again, Trish. Something's wrong with the volume on my phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. The first trial was scheduled. Not the first trial, but the first time the trial was scheduled was for April 25th, 2016. Maybe that wasn't even the first time. But it 4 years from the time Sierra went missing, from the time he was arrested, and he was just pulling all the tricks, wasn't he? Didn't he, like, fire his lawyers and just cause all kinds of problems?
Well, listen, let's first of all establish that it's a complete outrage, and it's a travesty of justice for any family to have to wait 5 years, 4 years, or 5 years for justice mm-hmm. to be served in a case like this. We knew who did it. He knew who did it. His lawyers knew who did it for a long, long period of time now. But his lead defense attorney, a character named, I think it was Al Lopez. I'm not sure what his first name was. But this guy was a real piece of work. I almost thought managed to find every way and means of delaying justice in this case that could possibly be conceived of. And his best trick was always coming out and saying, well, we just found this out at the last moment, therefore we need a delay for the trial, we need a motion for a new trial, we need to have the judge dismissed because she's biased in favor of the of the prosecution, that the lead inspector in the case is a known perjurer and plants evidence. And it just went on and on and on, and it was all totally and completely unfounded at the end of the day. There was no question as to how this thing was going to play out, and it played out, but it was about delay after delay after delay, and it's because the defense and the defendants in the case have all the rights. Marlene mm-hmm. and Steve and Danielle, they had no rights during this whole thing. They were almost like we, as parents of murdered children, are almost like pawns in mm-hmm. the whole playground of the criminal justice system. It's just a complete outrage.
Well, Mark, what can be done to change it? Let's just say you had control of the system for a day and you can make all these changes. What would you do to change it so a defense or a defendant wouldn't be able to do something like that?
Well, there you go. I mean, the thing is that we have we did until Governor Brown got his hands on it, have a good victims' rights, a good series of victims' rights in the state of California. But the ultimate arbiter of all criminal justice legislation is the Constitution of the United States. Mm-hmm. And the defendant has enumerated rights within the Bill of Rights. They've got the right to defend themselves. They've got the right to a lawyer. They've got the right not to perjure themselves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the word victim does not exist in the Constitution. So absolutely mm-hmm. the only way that victims will ever truly get equity in a criminal justice system is if and when a constitutional amendment is passed protecting the rights of crime victims. Nothing more and nothing less. Now, we've had efforts to do this. President mm-hmm. Clinton was very supportive of this. President Bush was very supportive of this. President Obama really never made a statement on it one way or the other. And things are so out of control right now that I think it's probably the last thing that's on anybody's mind in the federal system. But that's where it comes down. And until that occurs, there will never be equity.
And that you're right. Until that occurs, nothing will change. And that, but it's a hard thing to do. But it can be done because it's been done over the years before. Before adding a new constitutional amendment. So anyway, Torres' trial was set for April 2016. Finally, the trial got underway. I believe it was January of this year of 2017. And Mark, like you said, ridiculous 5 years that this guy got to sit and not face any consequences whatsoever. Marlene, tell us, Mark was talking about what it does to you and the family.
Well, just the trial caused us as a family to relive this tragedy, and this time they had a postponement. It was just prolonging us reliving the whole experience, and it just brought up a lot of emotions, you know, mm-hmm. or to resurface that, you know, just reminded us of the horrific things. And, you know, the trial itself, you know, you always hear about bits and pieces during the investigation, but they go into a lot more graphic detail during the trial.
Right.
And so it's almost like you're experiencing what your daughter experienced mm-hmm. through the horrible tragedy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Just a couple more questions, and I want to focus on the search and the community that came together for Sierra. Mark, or Marlene, maybe you can answer this as well. Somebody just sent me this question. Do you know why the FBI just recently posted Sierra's poster? I didn't know that. I didn't know they just recently put it up there. Why would they just put it up there now? Any idea? Or have you even heard that?
Recently posted what?
Sierra's poster, her missing poster. According to a Web Sleuth member, the FBI has just recently put up her poster, I'm assuming, like on their website, perhaps in public places. And she was wondering, why wait? Why have they waited for so long?
It doesn't matter, Tricia. I mean, the case has been adjudicated, and the guy has been found guilty of all counts. And, you know, whether the FBI put this picture up now or put it up 5 years ago, it doesn't change the response of the community
within Morgan Hill. It doesn't change the fact that Sierra continues to be missing. I think that that's kind of a red herring, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. And also, Marlene, I don't know what bag of tricks this scumbag has left, but if he has any hearings, or I'm assuming he's going to file appeals, are you still going to be attending things like that if they come about?
If it will keep him in prison and mm-hmm. my role to be there and be present, I will, of course, show up to the appeal. If my presence is necessary to keep him in there, I will fully participate.
Very, very good. Okay. Can I just chime in a minute?
Please. I don't think that she's going to ever have to face this character again. He was found guilty, and he was mm-hmm. found guilty on all counts. Plus, and this was a brilliant move on the part of the great prosecutor, David Boyd. He asked the judge to make this guy register as a sex offender for the rest of his life, despite the fact that he was going to spend the rest of that life in prison, and despite the fact that he was not charged with a sex crime in relation to the sentence that was ultimately handed down. And the judge mm-hmm. completely and totally agreed. I mean, it's up there, and everybody understands what this was about and why it happened. But he has been sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, and I don't think it will ever be necessary for anybody in the Lamar family to have to face this creep or any of his relatives ever again.
Oh, boy. Amen to that, Mark. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But as I have found out through your experience with what the governor is doing, something that you think is set in stone, like the life without parole, and we could go on about that for another 2 hours. So, but, let's hope and pray that Sierra's family doesn't have to go through anything to do with that scumbag again. Now, I want to talk about something that is a bit more upbeat that happened because of this tragedy, and that was the coming together of the community of Morgan Hills. I've never seen anything like it. Now, Mark, you and the Class Kid Search Team came in early on. I think it was it March 20th when you came in? It was pretty early. And you started to set up, and you do this a lot, Mark. A lot of people don't know this, but you and Brad Dennis and his team will go in and set up a big search for a missing person. And that involves getting searchers, volunteers, getting food for the searchers. It's a big operation. And it was so wonderful to see, and Marlene, I want you to speak to this as well, that search for Sierra continued. It was put back to weekends. And now I want to know, Marlene, I know the family isn't necessarily searching, but doesn't the search continue every Saturday or not by a handful of searchers?
Well, it pretty much continued maybe a monthly by monthly basis up until 4 years. And now it's just if they get any possible leads or tips, they'll organize a search. But it's not as frequent as it was 3.5-4 years ago.
So, but the outpouring from the community that has been so strong and so long, Mark, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, not that lengthy, no. I mean, we find that communities are always willing to respond when a child is harmed and is missing. But, nothing quite like what happened in Morgan Hill. I mean, literally thousands of people came out to search, and the entire community supported that effort through a variety of means over the course of a long, long period of time. And yes, there are some dedicated searchers who, when they find reason to go out and they have information leading to new locations, do in fact continue the searches on, I would call it, a semi-regular basis. But there's a really good administrator, a guy named Roger Nelson, who has really taken leadership role in continuing the searches and ensuring that they have good relevant information and that they're not treading over old ground yet again. And because of that, because of the organization and the dedication of those individuals that remain dedicated to finding Sierra, it is in fact a very real ongoing operation.
And Marlene, were you pleasantly surprised, I'm assuming, at the amount of support from your community that came out to help? Did it shock you, surprise you?
It was pretty unbelievable, the commitment and their fortitude as a community. They just wouldn't give up. They just, you know, felt that it was strongly about not giving up hope, you know, supporting us, helping sustain us through this journey and help us cope with a lot of the difficulties a parent goes through when their child's abducted.
To have that many people come and, like you said, support you and help you and give you their big, strong shoulders. Again, I was, and like Mark said, we see this a lot, markers in the searches. Communities do come out, but the length of time and the dedication was just absolutely incredible. And I'm glad they were there for you and your family, Marlene. So, well, I just want to wish both of you the very best. Marlene, Mark knows this, but I want to make sure that you know this. Web Sleuths is a community. Sometimes we act as an army. If you ever need anything, and I mean anything, I don't know what that anything would be, but you somehow think, I need a group of people to do something, call us, okay? We're here. Mm-hmm. We're willing to help anything that you need, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And Mark, you know where to find me if you need anything, okay?
All right, Trisha. Thanks, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
You too. Take care now. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas to you.
Well, that's it for this edition of Web Sleuths Radio, and I do apologize for the sound quality. I'm in a bit of a quandary here. Everything I'm trying isn't working, which is no surprise because I have that thing that you have when everything you touch electronically just kind of explodes. That's my problem. But we're working on it. I'm trying to get a studio set up in my house to where things don't sound like they're being recorded over the phone, which they are. Thank you, Google Voice. Okay, everybody, don't forget websleuths.com, sleuths with a purpose. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.